In my 40-year history of broadcasting, I have never endorsed a weight loss product because most don't deliver until now. Science behind CaloCurb is so compelling that I can support it as a plausible alternative for curbing appetite and enhancing satiety to help you shed pounds. The active ingredient in CaloCurb, Amerisate, comes from a specific New Zealand-grown hops flower, which works by activating your body's own appetite-regulating chemical messengers, including GLP-1, which signals specific areas of the brain to effectively manage hunger in just 1 hour. CaloCurb is clinically proven to reduce hunger by 30%, cravings by 40%, and calorie intake by an average of 18%. CaloCurb is a safe, effective, and affordable natural appetite-suppressing supplement made in the United States with no chemicals, synthetics, or caffeine, and it doesn't cause jitters. Take control of your eating habits and cravings naturally with CaloCurb. For more information and order, just go to CaloCurb.com. That's CaloCurb.com. Use coupon code DH10 for 10% off. That's CaloCurb.com. Coupon code DH10 for CaloCurb.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, on a holiday weekend as we kick back in the wake of the 4th of July. I hope that you're enjoying a safe and healthy 4th of July with your families, your loved ones, and with a couple of hours of Intelligent Medicine, because we're going to run down some of the most important health stories of the week. Plus, it's an opportunity to field some of your questions. 877-726-8255 is our number. Our call board gets a little busy during the program, so it is advised that you call 877-726-8255 anytime during the week, and you can record a question. We'll take some of those recorded questions during today's program. Some interesting and thought-provoking topics. Among the things we're going to talk about today, can you walk away from back pain? A new study sheds light on that. Also, something called active surveillance for prostate cancer. Don't just stand there if you get a diagnosis of prostate cancer. Just do nothing. What are the outcomes? 877-726-8255, our number. Also, a new study that looks at the efficacy of eye exercises for nearsightedness. Lots of people involved in eye exercises to try to improve their vision. A new study sheds light on whether that's beneficial. 877-726-8255, our number. A big story this week is there's a petition on change.org, and the initiator of that petition is a recent popular guest on our Intelligent Medicine podcasts, Dr. Christopher Palmer. Dr. Palmer is a Harvard Medical School psychiatrist. He is also a proponent of keto diets for mental disorders. He wrote a great book entitled Brain Energy, and he is now very influential. A lot of ongoing trials looking at the efficacy of keto diet. For example, this one just out, effects of ketogenic diet on cognitive function of patients with Alzheimer's disease. It's a meta-analysis, a systematic review of a bunch of studies that just came out. And what they conclude is that research has indicated that the ketogenic diet can enhance the mental state and cognitive function of those with Alzheimer's disease, but the safety and efficacy is unclear. But what they concluded is that indeed there was both safety and effectiveness of ketogenic dieting for Alzheimer's disease. And it kind of goes to the brain energy theory, is that faulty brain energy may be the common denominator for a lot of brain disorders from cradle to grave. Childhood brain disorders such as autism and attention deficit disorder along the way to age-related neurodegenerative disorders such as Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, and everything in between, including mental disorders. Have you ever noticed the diets of people in mental institutions or the diets of free-living folks who have severe mental disorders, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and on it goes. Their diets are often abysmal, and it's been my experience that the diet can have a profound beneficial effect for patients with all manner of brain disorders. The ketogenic diet, the principle is to feed people primarily fat instead of carbohydrates as a source of energy. Brain metabolism switches to utilizing ketones, which is a more steady state form of energy for the brain. It's natural because that's what we do when we fast. That's what we do in times of privation. During human evolution, there were times when there wasn't enough food, so the brain had the capacity to switch from glucose to ketones to power it. And indeed, that may be a more reliable source of brain energy. Well, anyway, something's happening at the Maryland Psychiatric Research Center, which was undertaking a trial of ketogenic diet for treating schizophrenia. The Baltimore Sun reports that there was an ongoing privately funded inpatient study of a medical ketogenic diet for treating schizophrenia. And, you know, I underline privately funded because there's not a lot of NIH government interest, National Institute of Mental Health interest in this modality, because we tend to favor methods using psychotropic drugs for treating mental disorders. Partially effective, in many cases, marginally effective or not effective at all, often with severe side effects. So exploring dietary approaches to mental disorders is of the utmost importance. But the Baltimore Sun reports that the Maryland Health Secretary, the one in charge of all medical activities in the state of Maryland, Dr. Laura Herrera Scott, recently halted this ongoing privately funded inpatient study of a medical ketogenic diet for treating schizophrenia. They write that this comes as a shock, given that the Department of Health's own 16-week review of the study found no ethical or safety issues, and the study is legit. It's overseen by three regulatory and oversight boards. It's led by an expert researcher, Dr. Deanna Kelly, who is a pioneer in nutritional psychiatry. It is a collaborative initiative with the Maryland Psychiatric Research Center and Spring Grove Hospital Center. So there is a petition on change.org. Our goal with this petition is to persuade Maryland's health secretary to reconsider his stance and permit this promising study to move forward. So if you want to find out about this, get onto change.org, look at keto study for schizophrenia, because as the pitch on change.org states, quote, "We hope to send a strong message to government leaders that the only ethical option is to support, not stand in the way of research that could help alleviate the suffering of millions." And, you know, just hearkening back, I called it a few months ago. I wrote a newsletter article entitled "The War Against Keto," and it appears that there is a concerted media and medical establishment and governmental pushback against the popular trend towards keto diets. The gatekeepers seem to be saying, don't succumb to the allure of this dangerous diet, just like they claimed in 1972 when Dr. Atkins' diet revolution debuted. Harvard Health, for example, is a popular newsletter, not really written by Harvard doctors. It's written by health writers with probably, you know, sign-off and minimal input from true Harvard researchers. But nonetheless, they have the moniker Harvard Health. They write, "Should you try the keto diet? It's advertised as a weight loss wonder, but this eating plan is actually a medical diet that comes with serious risks." Well, when you're dealing with serious problems like Alzheimer's disease, schizophrenia, various types of neurodegenerative disorders, even digestive disorders like inflammatory bowel disease. The stakes are high, and it's worth undertaking a diet, even if a little extreme, if research proves that it can have benefits. 877-726-8255, our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll take some of your recorded calls in just a moment here on Intelligent Medicine.
Chiolic aged garlic extract is considered by many to be the goat of garlic, the greatest garlic supplement of all time. For over 50 years, chiolic aged garlic extract has been the trusted choice for millions for safe, effective cardiovascular and immune support. Aged garlic extract's effectiveness is well documented in over 900 published scientific papers and studies. Chiolic aged garlic extract is created by aging organically grown garlic for up to 20 months. This unique aging process makes aged garlic extract gentle on the stomach, eliminates the offensive garlic odor and taste, and results in safe, beneficial compounds found only in chiolic aged garlic extract products. Whether you're seeking ways to maintain healthy cholesterol or blood pressure levels, or strengthen your immunity, there is a chiolic formula right for you. Visit chiolic.com and learn about chiolic's many health benefits. That's chiolic.com. Look for chiolic at natural health stores nationwide and online.
We all have our golden hour, our time to de-stress and reflect. To reach new levels of calm and contentment, check out Plus CBD's Reserve Collection. It's crafted using the highest quality full-spectrum hemp oil for bigger, broader effects to help you experience deeper relaxation and a brighter mood. As you know, I'm a big proponent of CBD to tonify the endocannabinoid system, which regulates many of our most critical bodily functions, such as learning and memory, emotional processing, sleep, temperature and pain control, and inflammatory and immune responses. CBD is a real breakthrough in herbal products. The CBD brand that I take is Plus CBD from CV Sciences. Their Reserve Collection is a specially curated blend of cannabinoids, rich and bold for when intense support is needed. Enjoy a deeper CBD experience with Plus CBD's Reserve Collection of oils and gummies. To learn more or to order, visit pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman30 for 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for Plus CBD's Reserve Collection. Back to Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. Anything on your mind? If you have a question, you know, it pertains to you, pertains to a loved one, you have a question about something we talked about in this program, or perhaps you've had a medical experience that you want to share with us, success using a natural approach, or lack thereof, we want to hear about it, 877-726-8255. And let's hear one of our recorded questions.
I listened to one of your 10 most important interviews of 2023 with Dr. Norton and about the oxalates, and I was wondering if you could answer how that has changed your approach to some of the items that she mentioned as being high in oxalates. I know you have said that for years you ate peanut butter, and of course that would be something she's against. And also you mentioned the chocolate was something that you didn't know if you would forego. So I was wondering if you could in general comment on how it has changed your outlook or your way of dealing with all of the superfoods that she says are very high in oxalates.
Right. You know, she does talk about the toxic superfoods. In fact, that is the title of her book. And it's a controversial book because it points to the hazards of oxalates. Now, in conventional medicine, the way I was taught is that the main hazard of oxalates is that they can join with calcium in the gut to form an insoluble complex that then clogs up your kidneys and can cause crystals and ultimately kidney stones. And so people have kidney stones. It's well acknowledged they should be on a low oxalate diet. So they can go through lists that you can find on the internet that tell you which foods are high oxalate. So most of the green leafy vegetables, things like kale and spinach, greens, are fairly high in oxalates. And then there's some outliers, things like peanuts and chocolate, for example. Cocoa is high in oxalates. And so for people with kidney stones, that's a definite must. Then we move into kind of the controversial assertions by Sally Norton. And I think it's intriguing. I think it's worth exploring for people who have, say, different types of arthritis. that are hard to treat with normal dietary modification. It may be appropriate for people who have any number of issues. The problem is that in the book Toxic Superfoods, the problems associated with oxalates are so legion that 90% of people who suffer from minor maladies would have to virtually eliminate oxalates to see if that makes a difference. And I think for me personally, what that has done is it's made me wary of things like kale smoothies. You know, it's hard to eat a lot of kale. You know, put some kale in salad and you have to chew and chew and chew. You know, cook it. It makes it a little more accessible. But you can really put like a whole bag of kale powder into a shake and it's super concentrated. And maybe that ups your body burden of oxalates. Cocoa also has oxalates, but I think by the time you get to the threshold where the oxalates would be harmful, you might actually be experiencing too much in the way of the sugar that is present in most chocolate. So I do like cocoa, and I use cocoa powder, and I use, high test, 90% cocoa chocolate. I like it as a little perk as pick me up, but I do avoid peanut butter, and part of the reason I avoid peanut butter is I just find it so darn addictive that I could really be off to the races. So peanut butter is an occasional treat for me. I kind of take a moderate approach to that, and I'm not sure if the minor aches and pains that I experience, the little knocks I have on perfect well-being, are attributable to oxalates. One thing I would caution, though, is that people are very enamored of things like those greens products, a balance of nature, eat your fruits and veggies, get them in a powder concentrate. And I think that those things have the drawback that they are missing some of the things that are in fresh fruits and vegetables. But oxalates are retained when you freeze dry vegetables and compact them into powders or capsules. And so people may be inadvertently overdosing on oxalates when they take in greens products like Balance of Nature. That's one of the reasons that I stay away from those products. I don't advocate them. I say, eat your fruits and veggies, but don't take additional concentrates or, throw green powder into your smoothies. It's unnecessary and potentially burdensome. All right. This item is something that talks about cell membranes. Headline, plasma membrane damage is a new trigger of cellular senescence. Plasma membranes are composed of phospholipids. And there's another article that I have here. I just came across these articles, but it's actually supportive of the notion that you can benefit from anti-factor lipids. Here's an article, The Crucial Roles of Phospholipids in Aging and Lifespan Regulation. So if you're feeling tired, if you have low energy, well, it may be your cellular membranes are lacking phospholipids. They've been shown to repair mitochondrial damage. They can restore energy. Studies have shown that anti-factor has been shown to reduce fatigue by 43%. It's been even shown to significantly reduce a wide range of symptoms and improve the quality of life in patients with conditions like chronic fatigue and those undergoing chemotherapy. So you can find the anti-factor line of nutritional formulas at your favorite health food store or online retailer, or to order direct, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to antifactor.com. That's antifactor.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Has your digestive health been striking out due to poor food choices, medications, stress, and other lifestyle issues? This season, hit a home run for your digestive health with Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is a live probiotic encapsulated in small, easy-to-swallow capsules that delivers Dr. O'Hara's signature blend of pre, pro, and postbiotics. Dr. O'Hara's award-winning formula contains a prebiotic blend of fruits and vegetables, which are naturally fermented with 13 strains of live probiotic bacteria for a minimum of 3 years. The result? Dr. O'Hara's game-changing postbiotic metabolites, which are key to supporting long-term digestive, immune, and cognitive function. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, an all-star formulation and the best probiotic on the market today for overall digestive health and wellness. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at fine health retailers nationwide and online.
Welcome back to another segment of our weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. It's 4th of July weekend, and I hope that you are enjoying with friends or family or however you choose to spend your leisure time. We've got lots to share with you, and hopefully you'll find it a beneficial experience. You can call 877-726-8255. If we don't pick up immediately, you can record a question. Let's talk about walking away from low back pain. This is a ubiquitous problem. I just don't know anyone. There's virtually no one that I know who hasn't suffered from occasional back pain. And, you know, I'm a fairly typical sufferer of back pain. My back pain was actually worse in my 20s and more like my 30s. That's when I had my first severe back pain episode. I remember it like today. I was examining a patient, and the bed was very low. And in those days, stethoscopes were very short. The tendency for stethoscopes, maybe this is how doctors are now increasingly distancing themselves from patients. But in those days, stethoscopes were like a mere 12 inches. So I had to bend down really low. So I bent down, and my back went into tremendous spasm. And so I couldn't continue with the day. And there was virtually one of the only times when I was absent during my entire medical residency, I was really incapacitated. And so I hobbled painfully to a taxi, and I went to a chiropractor, proceeded to try to adjust me. And my screams were so loud that I think I emptied out his waiting room. So that was actually a very memorable event. I haven't had that kind of back pain later in life because I've embarked on a preventive program with the kinds of exercise that support core. Core exercises are important for back and, you know, maintaining flexibility. Doing some early morning stretches has really made a difference in my susceptibility to low back pain. But, you know, it is a problem for a lot of people. In 2020, low back pain affected 619 million people globally. I don't know how they know, think it's maybe could be 618 or could it be 620? Well, they know precisely 619 million people globally. And they expect the number to increase to 843 million by 2050. I don't know. It could be a million more or a million less, but, you know, that's what problems with modeling diseases. So big problem. In this study, scientists recruited 701 patients who'd recovered from an episode of nonspecific low back pain within the previous 6 months. And this was done, the study was done in Australia. The guideline was to walk 5 times per week for at least half an hour a day. That's a modest guideline. The participants weren't too aged. The average age was 54, and most of them had already had several recurring episodes of low back pain. The average was 33 episodes of back pain. So they were pretty chronic back pain sufferers, predominantly women. So one weakness of the study, 80% of these back pain sufferers were women. So it's not entirely clear that these results are pertinent to men. In the study, walking reduced the risk of an activity-limiting recurrence. In other words, something where, you know, would sideline you by 28%. And the average number of days between recurrences was almost twice as high in the intervention group as in the control group. So there was 208 days between recurrences in the active group that got to do the walking and 112 days in the control group. For the incidence of episodes that caused participants to seek care, the difference was a whopping 43% reduced need to see a practitioner. So there's an interesting thing about this study is, so how do you do a placebo when the study is about walking, right? Well, okay, so they told one group to walk, and they told another group, they didn't tell them to walk. But they also didn't tell them not to walk. They told them to seek what's called usual care. They could do various things. They could go whatever they wanted to do. They could go to a physical therapist. They could go to an acupuncturist. They could go to a physiatrist, chiropractor. Knock yourselves out. But they didn't tell them to walk. But what was interesting in the control group, they knew that this was a study about walking, so they started a walk. So the results would have been even more robust if they had told the control group, no way, no how can you walk. But it would have been unethical and impossible to tell them not to walk. So gradually, the number of minutes of walking per week was 70 for the study group and 67 for the control group. So it was like comparable. At the 3 month mark, the difference wasn't even that great. It was 165 minutes for the walking group, and still the control group walked 114 minutes. So at a year after the beginning of the study, well, both groups were walking a comparable distance, but still the study group got the jump on the control group. Even after a year, they were doing the same amount of walking because they had embarked on an active walking program earlier than the control group. So, okay, interesting study. So get out there. You got back pain. No, don't lie down. Don't. That's inactivity. Terrible for back pain unless you're absolutely incapacitated. Get up and gradually start to walk and gradually increase your distance and time and speed, and it will help hasten your resolution and reduce the risk of recurrence. 877-726-8255, our number. Let's take one of our recorded phone calls.
I listened to your interview with Dr. Jonathan Clinthorne. He recommended whey, I think, is a high-quality protein, but I have a kind of allergic response to whey. Is there any other source of protein, plant-based or otherwise, that is as high a quality as whey protein? Thank you.
Okay, so good question. So what whey protein is, you know, if you think of the old nursing rhyme, Little Miss Muffet sat in her tuffet eating her curds and whey. The way that they used to make cheese is to use a churn, and then you would, or a sieve, you know, it was various, I don't even know the technology behind it, but you would separate the curds, which is casein, from the whey, which is lactalbumin, the two main proteins in milk and dairy. And a lot of people are allergic to casein, but not allergic to lactalbumin. It's more common to be allergic to casein, which you would find predominantly in cheese, but less so in, say, buttermilk, which is pure whey. And then there's whey protein. Whey protein is very complete. It is rich in the branched chain amino acids. It's a very complete protein. It's the protein that I use for my shakes. It's very well tolerated. There are other proteins that can come from vegetable sources that are nearly complete, maybe not as complete as whey. You can get protein from soy. You can get protein from pea. Pea protein is a popular alternative to whey. You can get egg protein. You can even get hemp protein, which has a pretty good amino acid profile. They actually did a study, and I found it interesting, comparing whey protein to pea protein for muscle preservation and muscle development, basically to counter sarcopenia, which is the age-related muscle decline that we all want to avoid. And I was kind of surprised by the results. I thought that whey would have the advantage over pea protein because, you know, maybe it has a more balanced complement of all the essential amino acids. But no, it turned out that they're very comparable in terms of their efficacy. What the comparator was is they gave collagen protein as the comparator, and collagen protein didn't do very well at all because collagen protein is lacking in some of the crucial branched chain amino acids that are necessary for muscle. So you see, well, collagen protein, I'm going to have collagen protein. That's really going to help my muscles. It might help your joints. It might help your skin. It might help your hair. It might help your digestive tract to heal, but it is not comparable at all to the more complete proteins, such as whey, pea, egg, even soy, and also hemp. 877-726-8255, our number. All right. When it comes to eye exercises, a lot of people doing eye exercises because of myopia or nearsightedness. And so they did a study, big study, done in China. And but nearsightedness is a huge problem in China because the kids are very studious. They read very early. They spend a lot of time reading, studying, spending time inside. It turns out that one of the risk factors for myopia is too much near vision and not enough outside exposure. And so they're actually doing studies, especially in China, looking at the effects of outdoor time on reducing the risk of nearsightedness. I fell victim to this because I was reading at a very early age. I was reading at, I don't know, 4 years old. Dr. Seuss and all that kind of stuff was popular in the day. And I was a big reader. And maybe, just maybe, I didn't get outside and engage enough in looking at the horizon. The net result is that I was one of the first kids in my class to require glasses. So eye exercises, do they help? The researchers say we researched studies on eye exercises from 9 Chinese and English databases. And what they found is that, drum roll please, overall, the results suggest that eye exercises have limited to no efficacy in preventing or controlling the progression of myopia or nearsightedness. Until robust evidence supports their efficacy, available evidence suggests retiring the eye exercise policy. And this was actually a policy in China. I mean, you got top-down government saying, you're going to do these things. But they had to rethink it because once they subjected it to the light of day, this practice turned out to be a bust. 877-726-8255, our number, and this is Intelligent Medicine. You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands that I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. In my 40-year history of broadcasting, I have never endorsed a weight loss product because most don't deliver until now. Science behind CaloCurb is so compelling that I can support it as a plausible alternative for curbing appetite and enhancing satiety to help you shed pounds. The active ingredient in CaloCurb, Amerisate, comes from a specific New Zealand-grown hops flower, which works by activating your body's own appetite-regulating chemical messengers, including GLP-1, which signals specific areas of the brain to effectively manage hunger in just 1 hour. CaloCurb is clinically proven to reduce hunger by 30%, cravings by 40%, and calorie intake by an average of 18%. CaloCurb is a safe, effective, and affordable natural appetite-suppressing supplement made in the United States with no chemicals, synthetics, or caffeine, and it doesn't cause jitters. Take control of your eating habits and cravings naturally with CaloCurb. For more information and order, just go to CaloCurb.com. That's CaloCurb.com. Use coupon code DH10 for 10% off. That's CaloCurb.com. Coupon code DH10 for CaloCurb. Back to Intelligent Medicine. 877-726-8255 is our number, and as you're aware, that number available to you 24/7, 365. So let's hear one of those recorded questions. That would be about B12.
I have autoimmune B12 deficiency, which never would have been discovered by the medical authorities had I not contacted a pathologist and found out the proper tests. How is it that the cheapest of all incurable diseases to treat, pernicious anemia, are now just called autoimmune B12 deficiency due to intrinsic factor, is not looked for?
Okay, this is a really great question because as we age, our ability to absorb nutrients is impaired. And that may be for a variety of reasons. It's, you know, age-related wear and tear on our absorptive capacity. It could also be related to declines in stomach acid as we age, and particularly in women, because men have more stomach acid, because men have more muscle and require more stomach acid to break down the protein that we require to maintain our muscle mass. But it can happen in men too. And then there are sometimes medications that interfere with absorption of nutrients. For example, proton pump inhibitors, of which tens of millions of Americans are taking, can reduce the absorption of critical nutrients like magnesium, but also B12. And so there is another category of B12 deficiency, which is the one that you're alluding to, which is an autoimmune disease. And as we know, an autoimmune disease is the immune system attacks various targets erroneously. It's like collateral damage of an overactive immune system. So in multiple sclerosis, the immune system attacks the myelin. In ulcerative colitis, the immune system attacks the colonic epithelium, the lining of the large intestine. In rheumatoid arthritis, it's the synovial membranes, and on it goes. There's, you know, as many autoimmune disorders as there are organs and cell types in the body. And there are certain cells that are responsible for absorption of B12 that are called parietal cells. And they produce intrinsic factor, which is a necessary cofactor for B12 absorption. And there are autoimmune conditions in which parietal cells start to be destroyed by anti-parietal cell antibodies. Okay? So there is a blood test, and I know about it because I'm a medical nutritionist, that we do if we find someone is low in B12. Like first pass, you don't do that test. First pass, and it's pretty reasonable in people over 60 or people who have medical conditions or people who have other autoimmune conditions. You got autoimmune thyroid disease, you have celiac disease. Yeah, check for B12 deficiency. That makes sense because these autoimmune diseases sometimes come in groups. And so I think that that is something that may not be known by the average general practitioner. We certainly learned about it in medical school, but maybe that was like one lecture, and we don't get enough emphasis on nutrition in medical school. You know, first pass is get a B12 test. If your B12 is exceedingly low, we have to ask, what's the reason? Are you a vegan? Are you consuming no B12? Well, if you're eating adequate amount of B12, then we have to think like, what is blocking your absorption? So you could be eating, you know, steak, and you could be taking B12 supplements. But if you got, if you lack parietal cell activity to make intrinsic factor, you could have B12 deficiency. The way around that is sometimes you can overcome it with oral B12. High dose oral B12, but sometimes you have to bypass the digestive tract altogether and give shots of B12. And you know, if there were, this were a live call, I'd ask you if you were receiving B12 shots, because that is proper treatment for autoimmune parietal cell autoimmunity or autoimmune B12 deficiency. You have to bypass the digestive tract and use shots. So. Yeah, it'd also be interesting to find out, do you have other autoimmune conditions? Do you have, for example, Hashimoto's thyroiditis? That's pretty common with B12 deficiency and intrinsic factor deficiency. Do you have other types of auto? Do you have a positive ANA? Do you have, you know, some sort of autoimmune skin condition? You know, what else is going on with you? And is there a way to address it in a root cause way? Like, what's triggering all that autoimmunity in your body? This item is about internet addiction. And it's a very interesting paper. It's based on 12 articles. And we're seeing a lot of internet addiction among young people. So this is actually one of the first articles where they looked at the relationship between internet addiction and structures in the brain. And what they found is that there are very specific changes on functional MRI, which affect the connectivity of different regions of the brain, how they interact with each other, if participants suffer from internet addiction. So literally, we can see changes in the brain of adolescents, teenagers, young people who are suffering from internet addiction. This is also associated with long-term psychological and social implications of spending too much time online. The researchers say, we hope our findings will demonstrate how internet addiction alters the connection between brain networks in adolescents, allowing physicians to screen and treat the onset of internet addiction more effectively. It's like, oh my goodness, maybe your kid needs a functional MRI to see if their brain is inexorably screwed up. 877-726-8255, our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You're listening to Intelligent Medicine.